Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchy. Jacob's here.
Hey there.
We're having a live show. We are. We have a live chat room going. I've explained this 100,000 times. We're going to take some Twitter questions and answer the questions live from the chat. Should be a good time. Jacob, how's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty A-okay.
I know why you're excited.
Oh?
It's Batman versus Superman Eve. That's why you're. That's why you're excited, right?
It's Thrillsville Station over.
we're taping this on Thursday evening. We have not seen it yet, but we're seeing it tomorrow morning.
Man of Steel was my most hated movie of the year that it came out, so this is gonna
be both of us said that was the worst movie of that year. And having seen it again recently, it sure still is.
So this is getting much worse reviews, and the ads and stuff like that looked way worse. So
well, the thing is that the reviews are savage.
They are.
Absolutely savage. And like, so we don't know yet. We're taping this before, but this weekend might be like a big nightmare for Warner Brothers. Like a big nightmare. And like we will find out. Like I am so excited to find out like what's going to happen, but this looks like it is just a turkey waiting to happen. So either audiences totally embrace it and just go completely against the critics, or I don't know. Or what happens. Hopefully it means they get rid of Zack Snyder and they start, you know, bring a new team in and make good movies.
Yeah, maybe lighten up the whole, like, let's be for adults DC thing, because it's not working out for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, God, the ads for it, like, maybe the movies, we'll know after we see it, but maybe the movie's so bad that they couldn't really cut a good trailer out of it, but the trailers they did cut, like, man, that's it. You know, that's not encouraging. Like, it's actively off-putting, almost. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. I mean, so, this is an anime podcast. We should probably talk a little bit about anime before getting into these Twitter questions. However, the only thing I've been watching lately is From the New World, which we will finally get around to discussing next week after some delays. But I don't want to go into it too much because we're going to talk about it next week. So, yeah, that's all I've had time for. This weekend coming up is absolutely insane. But before we do the show notes, everything's wrapping up. Erased just ended today. Can we get your hot take on the ending of Erased?
It was totally fitting for the show that Erased had kind of become within about three episodes or so. The show that I was so enthusiastic about in the first episode, maybe two episodes, was, you know, I thought it was maybe going to explore more of this guy's psyche and sort of the midlife crisis that he was having. And it does a little bit, but for the most part, Erased around episode three or four very quickly turns into a save people from my past and then become friends with them and, so he's not trying to make friends because his whole thing is like he's a super lonely guy and who's almost 30 and he's like not really done much with his life and he's not made connections. And so the connections he makes are accidental. He's just trying to save people's lives so he can get himself out of prison because he's been framed for a murder. But he accidentally forms bonds with people and this makes his life worthwhile or whatever. But it's not complex past that. It's just a, hey, friends are good, and, like, he gets a second chance. Like, but the rest of it is just suspense, sometimes very over-the-top, crazy, silly, melodramatic suspense. And it's very good at what it does in that regard. It is the director of Sword Art Online, and Sword Art Online had quite atrocious writing at times, but it was always entertaining.
Yeah.
And Erased is the same way. It's very well-directed. It's very well-handled. It's an attractive, fun show, a good time. I would definitely recommend it to people. But, yeah, it's not... I was hoping for something a little more complex at the beginning, but it very quickly became this suspense-driven, try to save this little girl while jumping back and forth through time thing, and it was like, okay, well, we've thrown that out the window, now it's just a suspense story, and as a suspense story, yeah, absolutely. A little bit silly, but totally, totally good popcorn fare. So, yeah.
So it's still worth watching in the end.
Oh, yeah. But you just don't go in expecting, like, an adult story. You go in expecting, like, it would work. This is the kind of thing that would work very well as, like, a live-action Hollywood feature. Like, it's very Hollywood. It's very Hollywood. It's very conventional suspense action stuff.
Right. Yeah, okay. Well, I might take a look at it later on. That might be like a good one to discuss on the podcast at some point. That might be a good one for that. A bunch of other stuff ended too. Konosuba's over. Were you watching that?
I was, just to keep up with the discussion on it.
Yeah, and
it sucked.
Okay. End of story, I guess.
In the beginning, sucked in the middle, and it sucked at the end.
All right then.
Shrug, you know. But it wasn't like horrible or anything. I just didn't think it was funny, and you know, it was cheaply animated and whatever.
Yeah, I know Lupin ended, but I'm way behind, so
yeah.
I'll get to it eventually. I kind of want to save that. Like, you know, I'll watch episodes sprinkled throughout the year, and eventually I'll run out, and it'll be a sad day. But I feel no great rush to get through Lupin.
Yeah, no, it was, like, without spoiling anything, like, Lupin was good up through the end. It did... I feel like anytime Lupin series try to incorporate more of a plot, there is a little bit of a too muchness to it. Like, I've seen that throughout the history of Lupin as a franchise. Whenever they try to add a villain or like a real overarching plot, they have to go so far into cartoony that it kind of becomes like, like, you know, maybe I want it a little bit more grounded and you know, it keeps it funner weirdly when it's not as crazy up in the air. But it didn't really, like, it did not hurt the show at all. It was just like, oh, well, we have to come down to a plot, I guess, at the end. But yeah, that was, I think, probably the best Lupin. I love Fujiko Mie, but Fujiko Mie is rocky, and it's commentative, and in some ways it doesn't even feel like a Lupin thing sometimes. I like Fujiko Mie as its own thing, but this was like the pinnacle of a Lupin thing to me. It was really great.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I definitely want to get to the rest of it at some point, but like I said, I'll have to sprinkle them throughout the rest of the year. So spring... Yeah, so not spring. Winter 2016... I guess, you know,
I really liked Rakugo as it went on. I was a little, I don't know, at the beginning, because it could be kind of a typical, like, a time and place in Japan thing. But Rakugo turned out to be very, like, gripping and character and story propelled. I wasn't expecting that, given the first episode, but it was, it's not a time and place kind of thing. It's very driven, and you were, like speed is it's a speed train barreling into an upcoming tragedy, and you're just like, ah. So I mean, like, Rakugo was my favorite show this season. I think, you know, everything else, like, I liked a lot of stuff this season, I should say, but even if everything was crappy, I think Rakugo was good enough that it would have made it up for me. So that show has been really interesting. It's unique. Like, I haven't seen another show quite like it, so that's nice.
Yeah, right.
It's very, very grown up. It's very thoughtful.
Yeah, that seems like that's one of those ones that's going to get busted out as a perennial recommendation. Like, oh, you haven't seen anime in a little bit? Okay, well, watch Death Parade and Space Dandy and Rakugo, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's going to add it to the pile of recommendations. The live chat room that we're reading here is discussing that Dimension W fell off quite hard.
I have not seen anything fall off that hard in a long time.
Really? So, like, what happened?
Well, I had my reservations at the beginning, if you remember way back. I was like, the action in this is really not directed very well. And that was my concern, but I was like, you know, if the writing's really good, who cares if the action's not directed well? Well, the writing turned out to be poop. And it just was, it's a mess on basically every level. Like, it doesn't look good. There was some cool stuff in the art design to begin with, but then it kind of verged into a lot of bad ideas. Like, the main villain has an absolutely awful character design. And it's just a bunch of, like, twists no one cares about presented in a way. It has zero character development. It has some of the least character development I've seen in a show in a long time. Like, people are the archetypes that you saw in the first episode, and nothing. They add nothing to the characters. Like, they give the gruff hero has a tragic dead girlfriend, and that's it. But you expect them to build a relationship between him and the robot, and there's no relationship at any time. So he just continues to treat her like crap, and she continues to be like, kill my son, we have to go, you know, we have to go fight these guys over here or whatever. And yeah, it's just bafflingly, like, I don't know, it's just bafflingly bereft of anything that would be interesting. And it's just, yeah, man, just what a mess. Like, nothing really in it works.
That's a shame. I mean... that was, you know, a lot was made of that particular co-production, and you know, I am 100% positive that they are rolling the dice again on a co-pro. You know, we're doing that months ago, so yeah. You know, I'm sure it'll be fine. But you know, that's a shame. It would have been nice if that had actually succeeded. Storytelling matters, folks.
It does. But weirdly enough, I think that they could have adapted that manga, because even though the writing's a little eye-rolly, like, I think it still would have been okay if there was a staff or this director who appeared to, like, understand and really handle the material well. But the whole thing feels, the biggest reason people are turning on it is it feels hands-off. It feels like the most autopilot-y, nobody-gives-a-shit presentation. And you can't judge the emotions and the feelings of the people working on it, but it feels like nobody cares. It's really like baffling to watch this kind of like slideshow autopilot, no emotional investment thing just sort of play out. It's weird.
Weird. How weird. Well, that's a big shame. Maybe it'll get reanimated or something. I doubt that. I don't know. Okay, so before we get to the Twitter questions, we do have some site news. Like, there's a lot happening over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. This weekend, if you're listening to this when it comes out, which is about March 25th, this weekend we will have Mike's coverage from Anime Japan, the big trade show at Tokyo Big Sight this weekend. So we'll have that on the front page, so check that out. A little later on, we will have a photo feature, so a photo tour of the halls of Anime Japan, so you can go through after the fact and see some bigger pictures and stuff like that. Also, this weekend is SakuraCon, so there will be a bunch of news. We're not doing, like, full coverage of SakuraCon, but we will have all the news from the show right away. So that'll happen. And then there's another couple of other conventions happening this weekend. If you're in Southeast Asia, there's a Southeast Asian convention this weekend that we're covering. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening. And then, 1 week from right now, the spring preview guide starts. So this show is going to be off. It will be on next week for From the New World, and then the week after that we will be off doing preview guide. So yeah, okay.
There's a lot of stuff in this
world. Lots and lots and lots and lots.
Every time you're like, oh, they can't possibly up production more, and then you look at it and it's like they did. There's more shows somehow. It's like, how? Why?
There's yeah. More. Yeah, it'll be tough. We'll get through it, though. I feel like we've been through, like, there have been seasons that were so hectic and so stressful that I feel like I've been through it, you know? Oh, man, these are some famous last words if I've ever heard. I'm sitting here dooming myself right now. Like, a week from now, it's going to cut back to me sitting here going, oh, you know what? I bet I've seen it all. It's like, I'm just setting myself up for it.
It's that comic strip with the dog in the house that's on fire. Going, yeah. This is fine.
By Casey Green, yes.
Yes.
All right, let's go ahead and get to the Twitter questions. Here we got a bunch of them. Let's see. Lord of Facepalm asks, do you guys have a guest for your From the New World and Cast Chat? Doing lots of show business. no, actually, I'm going to get in touch with the people that emailed me starting in a couple of days here. So those people will hear from us pretty soon. Let's see here. Let's see. Dexter Postman asks, any guesses on when America will make animation for adult audiences? Well, there needs to be like one success first, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say between 10 and 20 years from now, then it'll be not a trend, but it'll be not weird, I guess. I would say between 10 and 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. Like, we're seeing co-productions, so I wonder if it's just going to be like American companies will just make anime.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and, like, they already know anime has a market. They already know what that market is. They already know those people. They know what they will buy, so they will make shows for them because that audience can sustain a show. Mm-hmm. But, like, American animation for adults, who knows how and when that would develop, you know, like... Yeah.
I just meant that it's not so much that it'll be popular, but that the concept in and of itself won't be this weird. Like, it's already not completely... The stuff like... I'm not a fan, but stuff like Legend of Korra and, you know, like, even going way back, The Simpsons and stuff like that.
Well, like, hang on. So we should really clarify.
Hmm.
We're talking specifically about narrative dramatic animation,
right,
not comedy for adults.
Yeah, comedy is totally.
Have to clarify that.
Dramatic, but Legend of Korra was certainly something where a lot of big media outlets were covering it and were saying, like, oh, this is, you know, to be taken seriously, whatever. So it's already like a little bit of a thing. So I'm not saying it'll be a trend. I'm not saying it'll be popular, but it's kind of like how we have like niche cable dramas that like thousands and thousands of people watch, but it's. It's kind of like that, where I'm thinking it's going to be, like, not weird. You could bring up that you're watching this thing, and it won't just be nerds that are like, oh, that's interesting. It'll be, like, you know, not nerdy people who are like, oh, okay, I'm not following that, but I don't immediately think you're weird for watching a cartoon. That kind of thing.
You think the anime stigma will go away in 10 to 20 years?
Not necessarily anime, just, like, there might still be an anime stigma, but, like, dramatic animation. Like, kids that grew up on Steven Universe within, like, you know, 15 years or whatever, that'll be kind of like, oh, gee, you know, this is aged with me. This wasn't the thing I watched as a kid, because that show works as an adult. So it's stuff like that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you had to get to people who will have grown up with anime as we know it right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just now getting into the... you know, time of their life when they have, like, expendable income. Disposable income, rather.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I think you're right. I think the anime stigma may go away at some point. All right. Rogue of Space asks, are you going to play Dark Souls 3 when it comes out? I am. I'm going to purchase Dark Souls 3. I'm going to start it. I have no idea how far I will get before cheating. So bad at those games. I love them, but I'm so terrible at them.
It's like, where's the console button?
Yeah, I need to hit the console. Gotta get it on PC. Gotta hit the console command, and I gotta turn on the cheats so I can just look at the art design, because I'm not good enough at it to finish it. Jeez. It's pathetic, I tell you. All right. My anime waifu asks, did you think Warner Brothers would give up on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure this quickly? All right, well, harshly worded. But can I be perfectly honest with you? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I honestly thought that was a bad release that they were going to have very poor luck with, and I thought that they wouldn't be committed enough to anime to see it through and try it again. Whoever spearheaded this at their home video department didn't give enough of a shit. It was just a bait out in the water, and they floated it. It didn't work. So immediately I went to Viz. Great. Okay. They kind of wasted everybody's time. But all right. It's their property, you know? It's their property. So, but thankfully, it's back in good hands. We'll get some good releases from Viz, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
They do good work over there. Let's see here. Your friend of mine, Jeff Tebbets, asks, thumbs up or down for the complete Lupin the Third fourth season? So you said thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Like, even though it gets into story stuff.
Yeah, it just becomes not as exciting, but it's still good, if that makes sense. It's just like, okay, they're going to beat Leonardo da Vinci in the dream world, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
totally.
It's like, you know, maybe not the, maybe a little too silly for the Lupin that I want, but whatever. It's still good, so. Mm-hmm. It never stops looking good. The show does not have a dip in quality.
Oh, that's really, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, like, it'll have momentary dips, but almost every episode there's an outstanding scene. Up to the end.
Right. All right. Julian Moraine asks, how do you feel your political views impact your criticism and enjoyment of a show or movie? Well, like anyone, of course they do. I think if something is espousing a value that I find abhorrent, like the narrative is selling me something that's abhorrent and telling me that it's good or it's encouraging. Like, say, like, I watch something that, you know, is suggesting to me terrible things about, I don't know, some minority. Like, and it's pushing this worldview on me. Like, I'm not the sort of person who will just ignore that and, like, enjoy the movie. Like Transformers, the Transformers movies are, like, heinously pro-military.
Yeah,
like, no, hang on. Let me rephrase that. Heinously pro-military-industrial complex. Like,
yeah.
Very specifically, the military industry. That is what the Transformers movies are really into pushing. I find that gross, so that kind of squicks me out about those movies. It's not like, oh, I'll never watch one, but it grosses me out, and I would probably mention that in a review.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, so long as it, like, the content I'm commenting on has to justify what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Has to. What do you think?
For me, if it's like absolutely, but it bugs. I don't have to agree with something's message. I can disagree with somebody's stance on, say, somebody's stance on love, like what they think a healthy romantic relationship is. Like, I can disagree with the nuances of that. But if it's something they think is actually actively harmful, like, I guess, okay, so, comparison. For an anime comparison, Mario Kata's stuff doesn't really gel with me. I don't really see love the way she sees it. I don't see human nature the way she sees it. I don't really agree with how she sees a lot of emotional, like, a lot of emotional truth, if that makes sense. But I still like her work, and it's still entertaining to me. I think that she's a solid screenwriter who does interesting, varied things, and she's getting a lot of work, so I see a lot of it, and that's fine. And so that doesn't bother me. Something like Gate, which is out this season, is the entire point of that show is imperialism is good, actually. And maybe not so much, but that's really awful to me. And imperialism is good, actually, and also here's a lot of, like, extra rape and stuff like that, you know, just tossed in there.
Yeah, Gate's pretty gross.
It's pretty gross. And, but here's the thing. I'm watching both of those. I am watching Gate, because the thing, ultimately, to me, that matters the most is it entertaining? If I totally agree with the political message of something, but it's boring and I don't like the characters or whatever, then, wah. Gate, like, I find it absolutely abhorrent, but people are talking about it because it's entertaining and it's compelling.
Right.
And so that's important. And it's, and to me, it's important to follow that stuff because even though I horribly, like, disagree with it and it kind of makes me sick, I want to know what impact it has on the culture, on anime fandom. I want to know why people enjoy it and what they're talking about. And so, and it is entertaining. It's not a boring show at all. So, you know, like, yeah, just kind of keeping with that, like, political, I will not be turned off to watching something because I disagree with it politically. But,
oh, yeah, yeah. No, entertaining's entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. But
to an extent, to an extent.
But I do know, I do strongly, I understand my own feelings on stuff. I don't ignore, I don't feel like, oh, you shouldn't talk about that because it's just meant to be fun. Like, absolutely, even if something's just meant to be fun, dig into what you disagree with on it and don't be afraid to talk about that. Like, is how I feel about it. But it doesn't mean I say, oh, I won't watch this because Scientologists were involved or something like that. I just, whatever, I don't care. I'm a bad, you know, a supporter of some, of I guess, boycotting things that I don't like because I just, you know, I want to know. I want to follow the things. So, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I feel the same way. All right, Branko Bergson asks, were you surprised when Amazon announced that they would enter the anime simulcast market? Once again, no. No, I'm not. That's an obvious place for any company that is trying to bolster their streaming services is anime. It's a handy, it's a reliable traffic generator from what I understand. Posts generally pretty good numbers. Anime simulcasts for the new season do well. So it makes sense for a company like Amazon to get involved. I, you know, Hulu got into it, Netflix got into it to an extent, you know. Yeah, it's not surprising. Boy, I hope that... Here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want Amazon to get horribly aggressive with it and behave as a big wrecking ball in the industry, just knocking people out of the way and screwing everything up because they have so much, because they don't have to care about money.
Yeah.
You know, and a giant fish wading into a relatively small pond can screw it up. But all their plans seem so modest. It seems like this is just okay. Noe Tamina, all right, okay, you know, we concede that, I guess, but I hope it doesn't really get too much bigger than that. Like, I'm okay with a bunch of companies being involved. What I don't want to see is, like, oh, now suddenly Amazon has 49% of the season.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, that could get ugly.
Yeah, so, but that's all just total speculation on my part. I have really no idea. The only thing I know is, really not a surprise, I don't think, for them to get involved in simulcast. They're serious about their streaming content. Like, they are serious about it. And I wonder if this was one of the things where, like, they saw that Netflix was getting into co-pros and their streaming stuff after the fact, and then they saw the streaming numbers for, like, simulcast and decided to go simulcast because Netflix is not.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows?
Right.
You know, it's an interesting little conundrum there. Those are companies that I have no insight into. I am Region 1 anime companies. That's my thing.
Yeah. Giant
companies. So, the only insight I have is just from watching the industry for a long time and knowing a few things about the way the streaming industry works from the inside. Knowing just enough about it, I can only just make an educated guess. So it's just speculation, but we'll see. Let's see. Okay. Penguin Truth asks, what do you think of the already announced cast for the new Escaflowne dub? Welp. Sonny Strait gets $150,000 check.
Apparently.
That guy's rates went way up. way up.
Kickstarter.
I mean, good for them. That's the cast they wanted to go with? All right. I mean, I am in such hardcore wait-and-see mode on that entire thing. I'm just sitting back and saying, okay, what happens after this?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with this? Mm-hmm. Now that it was a success, what next? And, I feel like I don't really want to comment until I know what's next.
Yeah.
Because this seems... I don't know. I feel like it can either be just fine or kind of not be fine. One of the two.
The cast is whatever. The cast is fine as far as I can tell. I don't really have any objections to what I've seen in the cast per se. But
it seems fine. Yeah, I mean, you know.
But that is that they are all super down home broadcast dub, even Funimation.
Yeah, those are Funimation regulars. Yeah.
So the Kickstarter question mark, you know. That's
the thing is, that's the other thing is that a dub being if they had to record that dub in LA, it would have been a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
But they're doing it in-house with regulars. Mm-hmm. So that dub is what they're producing. What it sounds like is as inexpensive a dub as reasonably could be produced for that amount of money.
Right.
They did not promise some kind of special LA dub or anything like that. They are abiding by their word 100%. Tiny Aquadraka asks, looks like Fooly Cooly 2 is dead. Fooly Cooly 2. That's tough to say. Yeah. That's a tongue twister. Definitely happening 15 years after the fact.
Don't you mean Fooly Cooly Tooly?
Yeah, maybe it will be that. That's horrible.
Maybe they'll call it that. Fooly Cooly Tooly.
Anyway, all right. So do you want to recap this news that just happened a few hours ago?
Cartoon Network, or Toonami specifically, Toonami is a division of Cartoon Network, announced that they are co-producing Fooly Cooly 2 and 3, which will be 12 episodes total, so it's, you know, 6 each like the old OVA was, with Production IG and some of the original staff in different capacities, but at IG. So, yeah, it's, that's all I know, so, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think?
I think that even if it's good, that as a concept, Fooly Cooly didn't need a sequel, and I think there are many other things. If Toonami's looking to co-pro something, there are a million other things that ran on Toonami that were, or Adult Swim, that were more deserving of that were hits and did well, that were more deserving of continuations than Fooly Cooly, which is this nice little closed circuit art project it's not even that the narrative is a closed circuit, it's that was a result of these very specific artists coming together at a very specific time to do this very specific thing. And it's making a sequel to that is weird. It's like making a sequel. Well, I think somebody on Twitter said, why don't you just make a sequel to Ziggy Stardust? It's weird. It doesn't quite make sense to me. But it could be good. I'm not saying it couldn't be good. I'm saying, wow, if you could think of one thing that really didn't need a sequel in any way, Fooly Cooly, you know.
You know what seems like it would be really easy is capturing the lightning in a bottle again that was responsible for Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, it was.
Which was generational impact.
It was here's all these artists coming together just to create this thing for the hell of it. It is a lot of just random explorations of ideas and visual ideas and brought together by a script that was solid from a screenwriter who's not doing very solid things anymore, but he used to, and Yoji Inokito. And, the screenwriter did a solid thing, and then everybody just sort of played around on top of it, sort of Space Dandy style. And, yeah, why would you... So it's not a narratively driven thing, it's an art project. It isn't sequel to the art project. It's weird. It doesn't make sense to me. But whatever, maybe it'll be good.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I want to know, what's that going to be about? Like,
they said it's not going to be, they said it's going to be, have a new protagonist, I believe.
Okay, of course it is.
Because, like, yeah, you can't continue that. Like, what the, you know. So.
Who knows? I mean, what we can hope for is that they're not going to say, here's what people want. These characters doing this stuff again. Like, but then again, anime typically doesn't work that way. Like, they're probably not just going to make more of the same thing. At least I can't really imagine that they would. Mm-hmm. Like, that would just seem like a betrayal of what Fooly Cooly even was in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, it's weird to me that, like, the studio switch is funny to me, because think of, stylistically and tone-wise, the cliches that you associate with Studio Gainax would now trigger versus Production IG. Can you think of two more opposite studios in, like, style and tone and what they're known for than Trigger / Gainax? We'll just say Gainax and IG. I can't. Like, that is the most opposite thing that you could possibly pick. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I know that the people at Cartoon Network, the people at Adult Swim, have always wanted to make more Fooly Cooly.
Yeah.
Always. Mm-hmm. So this is a dream project for them, and congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please don't mess it up.
Don't fuck it up.
Please don't make a bunch of bad Fooly Cooly. Please. You guys, I'm just going to plead with you. I know you are smart, capable, and creative, talented people. Please make a good Fooly Cooly sequel. I trust you. Make something good, please. Uh-huh. That's all I ask. Thank you. All
right. Right.
Got that out of my system. Schrodinger's Matt wants to know, what would you like to see done with short-form series that couldn't be done with standard half-hour block episodes? I'm going to say experimental animation, different kinds of character animation, different character design, absolutely, like different art styles. I would really like to see shorts get experimental with the art style.
Mm-hmm. So it means like short runs
here? Yeah, like five minutes.
Oh,
five,
yeah. 10 minutes. Yeah, I think this season was kind of, like, not that the art styles were explorative in this season. I agree with you that I think that's the best thing that could be done for shorts, I think, but also just what was done this season with stuff like Seko Boys and Galco-chan is stuff that is obviously not going to fly for like a larger audience, and just more of that, because yeah, I can't imagine, like, there's attempts, but Galco-chan is interesting because there's lots of shows that are girls being gross and that's the show. But Galco-chan feels like it's aimed specifically at girls, at gross girls. Usually they're aimed at otaku, or they're aimed at maybe sort of a shoujo audience. This is like for gross girls, like straight up, this is for girls. And so that was neat. And then Seko Boys is just, yeah, you couldn't do that for a half hour, but it's fantastic for 7 minutes at a time. So yeah, more weird, I guess. More weird art style and weird stories, which is, they're already doing one, so maybe more of the other.
All right. Okay, well, that actually wraps up the Twitter questions. We can take questions from our chat now. You guys can just post your questions, and we will take the ones we can. MJKS asks, Zach, are you ever going to have time to watch Gurren Lagann for a classic stream review? I'm going to be straight. No.
Really?
No, I'm not going to have time for that. Are you kidding me?
I thought you meant podcast focus.
Classic stream review.
No.
Like weekly, like daily streaming classic, like that. No, yeah, no, I don't have time for that. We'll watch it for the podcast for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, that doesn't take me 26 weeks or 12 weeks or however long it would take me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see here. Alma Karma 6 asks, have you seen The Beast and the Boy and the Beast? And if so, thoughts? Well, you can read Jacob's review on the site. Yeah. You gave it a qualified thumbs down.
Oh, yeah. Did not like it.
Yeah. I give it the same qualified thumbs down. It's not a terrible movie. It's just not good.
Visually, it's not a terrible movie. If you just want candy to look at,
I don't
want
to be mean to it. I can't be mean to it.
Visually, it's not a terrible movie. I was trying to give it a compliment. It looks very pretty.
It is. It looks good.
The story is not good.
I just, you know, the sword in my heart doesn't want to come out.
No, it
doesn't want to come out and play.
I can't feel the sword in my soul for Boy and the Beast.
I can't. Yeah, that was a shame. I think. I mean, I don't know. I'm starting to realize that, like, Hosoda maybe just isn't really for me. Because, like, I have not loved anything except the first, like, two-thirds of The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. Like, Summer Wars, I was lukewarm on. Wolf Children, I was like, nah. Like, this one, I was like, no. So, I don't, maybe it's just not for me. I feel bad about that.
I like Summer Wars a lot, but I think that was his peak. And, I know this is a cliche, but he was remaking a movie when he made Summer Wars. So, like, having a second draft, like, Summer Wars is a second draft of a movie he made. Maybe that was his peak. I don't know. We'll see. Well, we can hope for better. Absolutely, we can hope for better. But I don't know. Writing not his strong suit, I don't think.
Okay. The Flu asks, which show had the better twists, Erased or OG-san and Marshmallow?
So, OG-san and Marshmallows was a cop-out.
Was it?
Yeah, well, the...
Was it a Paul Blart Mall cop-out?
Yes! Yay! no, I mean, spoilers for this goofy 3-minute short anime, but it's all about this office girl who's pursuing her Paul Blart alike office mate because she's like super hot for him and he doesn't get it, and that's the joke. Hmm. And the end revealed that he was married, but then the episode after that was a hi, he's not, don't worry. So yeah, that wasn't a permanent twist. But Erased had lots of twists, like many, many twists. So so I think it wins.
So you seriously considered that question?
Yeah, well, you gotta answer, the people ask the questions, you gotta answer them. Give the people what they want.
Yeah. Can't Wear Hats asks, how weird was it, did it feel seeing all the fan service in Digimon Try?
Really weird. I was immediately uncomfortable. I was like, oh, and people have immediately responded to that with, there were bathhouse scenes in the show, and it's like, yeah, but they're framed differently. Like, the bathhouse scenes in Digimon the show are just little kids sitting in a bathtub, and occasionally maybe you'll see one of the kids' butts. Like, this was, Tai takes off his shirt, and the camera is focused on his pectorals, and when the girls come into the bath, they're blushing and, like, one of them falls and TK catches her and she's like looking away from him and Mako stares at Ty's dick. She does. She stares at his dick. You know, it's different. It's not the same. So it was really, really weird. But I wasn't creeped out by it because the show is so obviously focused on adult viewers and it's not creepy fan service. It's just acknowledging that these are teenagers that like get blushy sometimes. So it wasn't creepy. It didn't bother me. It was just a bizarre, surreal experience because it was never something I thought I would ever see. So, yeah.
Yeah, the second film of that, it's like, the second 4 episodes, it's a movie. I don't understand that release schedule.
Yeah.
That came out this week, last week? And, your review just went up on the site. Mm-hmm. And you said it improved on the first part.
Yeah, right? Well, the beginning was largely set up, and it was a little bit more lackadaisical, and this was getting a little bit more into story stuff. And the character writing, I mean, a lot of people talk about Digimon as like, oh, what I really love about it is that it has these 8 characters in the cast and all of them are given an arc and all of them are, and none of them are stereotypes. Like they all feel like real kids and they've continued that really well. Like I was literally moved to tears twice because I rewatched it for review. I was moved to tears twice by Joe's stuff in that movie because they did not, it wasn't light. It wasn't like, oh, he's having to struggle between college and being a hero. It's like, he have him sitting down going, why do we have to handle this? Why can't the police handle this? I'm an adult. I can't be doing this kid stuff. Why? And he's upset. And he's taking it out on his poor little Digimon. And the Digimon doesn't understand. And he's like, you're a coward. And it's just hard. It's like, it's hard to watch. Like, they really committed to the character stuff in that. And I thought it was extremely emotional. If you grew up with those characters, it was fantastic, so I'm looking forward to more of that. Like, it's animated like potato. Like, some of the animation in that movie is garbage, but just the writing is on fleek. So, yeah, you know, pretty much. It's great.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Feelings, I cried, damn it.
Rogo Space asks, have you seen the Yuri Kuma RSG dub? How does it compare to the subtitles? I have not seen it. Did you watch that dub?
I saw maybe a little, but not enough to judge.
We want to talk about shows that didn't stick around in terms of popularity. Well, it was never. You're wrong. It was never popular.
Basically, yeah. Like Anna Twitter was happy about it, but I still love it. You know, I'm eager for it to come out in Blu-ray, be able to own it, and rub my face against it, and go, "I love you, Yuri Kuma." It's really good.
Somebody Meh asks, why does Warner Brothers keep hiring Zack Snyder? Why do they even understand what makes these characters so iconic? I don't know why they keep hiring Zack Snyder. No one seems to love his movies. Like, I don't know anyone who's like, I love Zack Snyder. Not even like people who really love Michael Bay, which I get. I get Michael Bay love. And I get some Zack Snyder appreciation. I like 300. I think that movie's very entertaining. For a time, I appreciated the Watchmen adaptation, although upon rewatching it, it's a bad movie. And he's made some real, real abhorrent shit. I mean, Sucker Punch. Jeez. Like, what? Like, that movie is
shockingly bad.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. So I can only assume that Man of Steel made just enough money, and they didn't want to change course. They were going to bet the farm on Zack Snyder to make Warner Brothers DC Comics movies, and they didn't want to change course. Mm. So he probably signed a really expensive contract that would have been really horrible for him to get out of. So they took these sort of underwhelming Man of Steel returns and said, okay, well, better next time. And what we're seeing is, well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But I mean, he wants to make The Fountainhead. I don't.
Yeah, which I really want to see. So I hope he makes that. And I just want to go and laugh and laugh. Yeah. Oh, how I'll laugh.
Zack Snyder has big feelings, but he doesn't have a lot of big thoughts, I don't think.
Oh, man. Well, you know what?
Oh, he's not going to hear this. He's not going to listen to this.
Would a stupid man have made the film The Guardians of Ga'Hoole? No. I submit to you, no. Owls are wise, and so therefore.
I like to presume that he asked if there was a Cliff's Notes of this children's book.
Oh, come on, man. So see, now you just, all right, we gotta put a stop to this.
I assume that perhaps he didn't want to read the books.
Nance Fan asks, hey, Zach, you're suddenly a big Gundam fan. Which is cool. What grabbed you about it? I am not suddenly a big Gundam fan. I mean, I have more appreciation for Gundam now. I feel like I've really come into my... After I watched 0079, I really appreciated the rest of the franchise. I did not watch that much past 0079, but I've seen plenty of Gundam. And I look forward to new shows when they come out, and I like knowing what all those robots are. Like, I like going in and knowing what the gunplay, like, what that show is, and whose character, like, I like being able to identify that stuff, because there's a ton of it. Yeah. And, like, just walking into that warehouse and being able to know what things are is great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's cool. But I wouldn't say that I'm, like, a big fan of Gundam, but I definitely am glad that I learned everything that I could about it, and, like, now that franchise is open to me. I can go at any point and watch anything and understand what's going on, which is totally what I wanted. But I definitely want to watch more Gundam. I feel like we'll do Gundam for a podcast show, like, at some point. Gundam Wing, for sure. Like, we have to do Gundam Wing.
Right, yeah.
Like, have to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's gonna be fun. Let's see. Hikar asks, other than Yurikuma, is there anything you guys are looking forward to coming out on Blu-ray? Death Parade, for sure. They haven't even announced, like, like anything for that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I can never remember in the moment. I remember.
Yeah, in the moment, I'm so bad at just titles, like, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
One Punch Man, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything really great from fall that, you know...
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I just can't remember it off the top of my head.
You know?
Yeah. Can't think of it off the top of my head. All right, we got time for one or two more questions, if there's one or two more. Mib asks, would you like to see Ikuhara explore a completely different subject matter in whatever he does next? Yes.
Yeah, I think he's worn out the LGBT stuff for a little bit. Like,
yeah,
he, like, Yurikuma, I thought was, like, an even stauncher. Like, I know people say, absolutely justifiably so, that Utena was responsible for their sexual awakening, and Utena is about all sorts of identity politics, like, all sorts of, but Yurikuma is, like, furious. Like, Yurikuma is, like, a giant heel stomping down on the ground for how awful the world is to women, especially, like, queer women. Like, it's angry, like, it's righteously angry. All of his work is, like, Utena gets righteously angry by the end, but Yurikuma was, shockingly, like, angry, and, like, righteously angry. But that's not to say it's a mean show. Like, the end is, like, super heartwarming and kind and, like, you know, attributes, like, attributes heavenly, like, I guess heavenly significance to stuff. And, you know, like, it's good, but, like, yeah, I think he's done. Like, I don't think he can say much more about how the world is crappy to lesbians that he already hasn't, so. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Like, if that's what Ikuhara can get made, if that's what he can get produced, and that show didn't succeed.
No.
So the odds that anyone's going to let him make something like that again anytime soon are really low. So I would imagine the next thing we see from Ikuhara, if he does anything, will not look like his previous projects that much. Like, he'll wind up doing something else. Like, he's an auteur, so this guy will have a long career.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what he'll be doing 10, 15 years from now. Mm-hmm. So I look at it as kind of like, who knows if someone's going to roll the dice on Ikuhara again on another original Ikuhara project. But, you know, we'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't know. We will find out. Okay. Someone says... Someone.
Hmm?
Where I should find that. Lone Life asks, how much longer can they delay Attack on Titan Season 2 before people stop caring? I don't know that people are going to stop caring about that. I think it has to come out this year. Has to.
Yeah.
But I think it will.
It's been diminishing returns on Attack on Titan, but it is already... It's cemented itself in the popular consciousness, so it's not like those people... That audience isn't going to go away or forget. You'll
yeah.
just get more impatient, and you won't get, like, as enthusiastic a return on investment, but people will still watch it. Like, you could wait a while, and people would watch it.
Yeah,
yeah, they should step it up, definitely, if they can. I understand why it was delayed. Like, people are like, oh, why the delay? Do you remember what happened? Like, if you're reading the manga, you remember how many Titans there are and the material that they will immediately be adapting? Do you know how hard that material is going to be to draw? Like, I looked at it and I was like, oh my god, like, this is going to be so hard to draw. Like, really, really difficult to animate. So, yeah, that's probably a lot of a problem.
Yeah. Like, you know, when that thing is about ready to come out, you're going to see a mountain of hype for it. I guarantee you. Attack on Titan Season 2, I'm willing to bet that Funimation, or whoever winds up, I mean, it's probably going to be Funimation, will put a lot of effort behind letting everyone know that Attack on Titan Season 2 starts on this day at this time.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they do that.
People,
I want them to do that.
Yeah, people have pointed out, like, the stuff in the second half of whatever the season will be, assuming it's, like, a two-core season, is actually very easy to animate. Like, it's a lot of talking heads, but that first half is... That's some theatrical level, can you do this on a TV budget? It's some Berserk shit.
Like, Berserk.
Yes.
My most anticipated show of the summer. Me and everyone else.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. We better wrap it up. So, listen, thanks everyone in the chat for stopping by, and to you at home for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, Jacob.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Jacob, I guess, for stopping by. Theme song Bucharest by the band New Division. You can check out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating, a review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.